We're getting used to stunning statistics. Today's over 160,000 Americans have contracted COVID-19. More than 3,000 have died. Thousands more are reeling at those losses. So we want to take a tender moment now to reflect on one passing. Michael J. O'Brien of Walcott, Connecticut, was just 35 years old. He was a flagman at construction sites with a side gig as a DJ. In fact, on March 10th, Mike DJed at an event in nearby Westchester, New York, one of the country's early hotspots. 16 days later, he died of COVID-19 at St. Mary's Hospital in Waterbury, Connecticut. His wife, Tara O'Brien, remains in the hospital. Mike's father, Bill O'Brien, is here to help us understand something that those statistics say many Americans will experience and to share some of what others may soon go through. And Bill, to you and your wife and Mike's siblings and nieces and nephews, we are just so sorry.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah. Appreciate the concern and so much interest in what's happening to help spread the word around that people need to be careful.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds unbelievable. And it also sounds like Mike enjoyed a big, close family. He was the youngest of four of your children. When he got this cough early on, he thought it was allergies. But your daughter, his sister, got concerned?
Yeah, well, she was concerned for herself. She gets bronchitis almost yearly. My wife was in the hospital last September twice for lung problems, and she's off oxygen now during the day, but she still has it at night. And then my daughter also knew that that Mike, you know, sort of got allergies and or bronchitis each year as well. So you know, she was very much concerned for all three, as we all were.
Yeah. And then your other son, another son in Maryland, said, go to the hospital. This is now 8 days later. How sick was Mike at that point?
I mean, I first knew that he was sick. Of course, he lives across town from us, not in the house. And he did go to Westchester County on the 10th. And I think it was maybe 2 days later or so that the governor shut down the bars in New York.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, then by that weekend, I guess Mike was showing symptoms. And over the weekend and then in the next week, he got, you know, sicker. And, you know, the last we heard was that his temperature was 104.5. And he went to the walk-in clinic, and he had to sit in the car with his wife for 4 hours before they would let him in, because I guess there was a long line or whatever, and they were only letting in one patient at a time. So they gave Mike the, since he had more of the symptoms, they gave him the virus test. And, of course, we didn't get the results for 2 days later, but, you know, they sent him right to the emergency room and was admitted.
You know, Bill, I don't know if it's even more painful to look back, but I'm wondering, do you have a little of the woulda, shoulda, coulda? I mean, there really was not the language that we hear now back in early March.
Right. Well, you know, my wife did speak to him before he went down to Westchester that night and encourage him not to go because we were starting to hear about things in New Rochelle. And, of course, we're just speculating that that's where it happened. But
right.
But it was not only Mike, but his wife, obviously, you know, has since become sick, and his two business partners as well, who were all there, all four of them, and now one of his business partners, the wife and two children, you know, they've all tested positive.
Well, that's just awful. And your son, at this point in the story, in the hospital, he's seriously ill, and you can't go in.
For us, that was the hardest part. Not being able to visit him, be with him, talk to him. We couldn't talk to him on the phone. After the first day, he was on a ventilator. You know, the staff there was great. You know, we had one family member calling, like taking turns three times a day. You know, the chaplain staff was tremendous too. You know, getting holy water and doing an apostolic pardon, but that had to be done from outside the room by the chaplain. You know, he was not allowed into the room. So it was sort of everything by long distance, but the people there were great. In fact, we even heard that the nurse blessed Mike with holy water every day.
Is that some solace?
Well, I went down twice, once with my wife. We just parked outside the hospital and just prayed the rosary. And when we got the word that, that he was in trouble, we rushed down, and we got there, I guess, just as he was dying, and we're outside the hospital. This time we knew better where he was, you know, out above the emergency room, so we parked back there on the other side of the hospital from where we had been. And that was as close as we could get, probably a couple hundred feet away, but a couple stories up. And, but his wife, Tara, in the meantime, she got admitted to the hospital as well. The next morning, she was brought to ICU, and within the day that Tara went in, I guess Mike started showing some signs that things weren't quite as good as everyone had hoped. And, you know, at some point, I guess right near the end, one of the nurses had Tara, you know, they brought her into the room, and, you know, as Mike died, she was holding Mike's hand. So she was, you know, she didn't see, you know, all of the work that the doctors, I guess they worked on for a couple hours, and they shocked him twice. They did everything they possibly could, but she was there at the very end. And, of course, she's still there now. And she did come out of ICU Monday, and she's up and walking a little bit.
I just, you know, I can't get over the image of you and your wife and family members parked outside. Parking lots are becoming sacred places, right, because you can't go in.
Right, yeah.
And although I'm so sad that Tara is also, and, you know, battling COVID-19, that's the only reason she got to be with him.
I think God had something to do with that.
Well, this is, you know, it's just heartbreaking. People from your state, you have a state senator, Rob Sampson, who, you know, your son's death was a wake-up call for him. I suppose there's no solace, you know, in the loss of a son, but that your son really brought home to people, this is happening.
Right, and from China, we were getting the message that, you know, it's more the elderly that it's hitting, and but they were saying people with underlying conditions, and Mike did have diabetes, but still, that he's only 35, you know, I think was, so far as I know, still the youngest in the state to have died from it. So, and that his coworkers and his wife got it as well, shattering any myths that people might have had. And the four of them were in the car together, I guess, or at the bar together, and that they all got it shows how contagious it is.
What would you like us to know about Mike?
Mike was, he was his own kind of guy. He liked to do his own thing. You know, he wasn't, you know, the splashy kind of guy. He didn't like conflict. He had his, you know, circle of friends, and, you know, they confided in him. He was always one that would lend an ear to people, you know. You know, he did things quietly, but he really enjoyed the karaoke and the being able to entertain people. He really wanted to entertain people, but I think especially the weddings. He was extremely interested in a lot of things, from theater to astronomy, and big Star Trek fan.
Well, Bill, you've left out the one thing that really made us smile in this very sad obituary. He was the family birthday cake artist.
That's right. yeah, my sister-in-law lives with us, his aunt, and she was reminding me that on her birthday he made a Scooby-Doo cake with all the characters on it. And
best cake ever.
So you never knew what you were going to get. You know, we put whatever he thought would be appropriate on there for the person. That part I'm certainly sure is going to be missed on every birthday. In fact, you know, unfortunately, he died on my daughter's birthday. So that's going to be hard on her each year. Yeah. But we'll have to do something special on the cakes, I think.
Yeah. Well, Bill O'Brien, again, talking to us about his son, Mike O'Brien, who died at the age of 35 from COVID-19. You know, I know you're not able to have a proper funeral because, you know, people can't be there. But I'm glad we were able to celebrate him here.
Well, we appreciate your calling and putting him on so other people will know a little bit more about Mike.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
And by the way, we heard Joan O'Brien, Bill's wife, coaching him there in the background. We thank them both.